And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It is 5 minutes past nine now on this Thursday, the 15th of May. I do hope you're very well indeed and you're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show. We've 3 hours to keep you entertained and informed and maybe even educated, and you can educate us. Tell us what you're thinking. Maybe you've come across something you think we should be talking about. Maybe you've got some good news to pass on. 086 60 25 000. The WhatsApp number is open for you as well. That's the same number for your SMSs. If you want to give us a call, it's 07491 25 000. And if you want to email, it's comments@highlandradio.com. I was listening to the news there from Donna Marie about the driving wait times, and it really is crazy here in Donegal. The latest figures that are available, the official figures are, that if you were to apply for your test today, in other words, to go waiting for an invite to be invited for your driving test in the Buncrana area serving all of Inishowen, 27 weeks. So if you applied for, say you've done all your lessons and you applied to be invited to take a test, right, you could expect at this point to be invited to book a test on the 24th of November. The 24th of November, that's 27 weeks away. That's crazy, isn't it? And then it's likely, because someone recently that I know got an invitation to book a test and it was a month away. So realistically now, if you applied for your test today, it's probably going to be 2026 if you're in Inishowen. 27 weeks. Now, alternatively, you could try Donegal Town. It's similar kind of a town, similar layout. It's only 19 weeks. Now, I want to say only 19 weeks compared to 27 weeks. It's 2 months sooner. You'd expect to get invited to book your test in Donegal Town on the 29th of the 9th. And in Letterkenny, the wait would be 25 weeks. So if you completed your 12 lessons and you applied for the Letterkenny area, you would not expect to be invited to book a test until the 10th of the 11th. So again, in Letterkenny, you probably wouldn't be sitting your driving test until 2026. So those figures are before you receive an invitation to book a test. So Buncrana, 27 weeks. Donegal Town, 19 weeks. Letterkenny, 25 weeks. And the last figures we had showed for the whole of the county, there's 4 driving testers. Is it 1 in Donegal Town? And then 3 servicing Letterkenny and Inishowen. I think that's the way the breakdown of the 4 driving testers was. But that's crazy, isn't it? And us, such a rural county, and it's so difficult to get about. And it's not a bit wonder, not that it's a justification, but it's not a bit wonder that the biggest increase in learner drivers driving unaccompanied was in, guess where? That's right, out of 26 counties, County Donegal. So if you're a young person, left college, or even an older person, maybe you split up with your partner or they passed away or something, and you need to get on the road. If you applied today, the likelihood in Buncrana and Letterkenny is you wouldn't be sitting your test until the 26th. And I wonder, is that accounting for that smaller number of testers? You know, annual leave, maternity leave, I don't know, sickness, you know what I mean? So, and then again, and we had this last year and the year before, and I kind of be at pains even to report it because I think it disappoints people when it doesn't come to pass, but I hope it does, that they're talking about, oh, we'll have the driving test waiting times to 4 weeks in September. You know, how many times has September been promised and nothing comes to pass? It's the same with the NCT. We were told that they will work on that, but sure, still the wait times are through the roof often. Especially if through no fault of your own, you miss your first appointment. You know, something comes up in life or the mechanic doesn't have the car ready. You go back to reschedule and it's, you know, months and months away. Anyway, that's the driving test situation. I just really feel, because I went through it myself at a time, and I know our boys have been through it as well. And it's just really, really, really frustrating. And you're watching on as someone wants to get on with their life or start a new job or take up that apprenticeship. And you want them to be at home, and they're going, well, look, Mom, look, Dad, I can't even get about the place. I might as well head off to Australia or something, and maybe they'll have a great life. I don't know. But suffice to say, I think that's part of the problem in this county as well. All right, Tyrconnell Tribune this morning. Following this week's visit by the Housing Minister, James Brown, Deputy Pádraig McLoughlin says that while he promised much, he provided no answers, while Donegal mica homeowners, as they're described in the paper, have been left waiting for remediation for a decade. Apart from the foot dragging on the general election promise of a 10% increase on the remediation cap of €420,000, Padraig McLaughlin says this situation is now intolerable in the light of a Wednesday morning statement in the Dáil by Junior Housing Minister Tom O'Donnell, indicating that a number of other technical issues have been identified. Deputy McLaughlin also said he's believed there are 2,000 council houses in need of rebuilding, and there is an estimate of a cost liability of more than $200 million, yet the government is not in a position to offer a shred of guidance for them or for when all these projects are put into a time frame. And of course, I sat with the housing minister for 12 minutes. Nice guy, don't get me wrong. But as I said in the introduction to Councillor Ali Farron, either he knows nothing about the situation and wants to come up and learn about it and do something about it, or he just wasn't very well briefed on stuff. And I don't mean that with any disrespect to him. It's just the fact that it was, we're looking into that. I'm up here listening. What about, you know, downgraded homeowners? I'm going to listen to them. But it's action now. It's what happens next. And I suppose he needs a bit of time, but can he achieve stuff that previous housing ministers seem either unable to or unwilling to? The Derry People Donegal News this morning. Sad news for the family of Terry Ponsonby and the wider community and business community. A well-known businessman from Letterkenny is being fondly remembered as one in a million following his unexpected passing in Spain earlier this week. Best known for owning the popular local takeaway, the Friar's Rest, Mr. Ponsonby was a well-known and much-loved figure in the cathedral town and beyond. Sharing the heartbreaking news on social media on Tuesday, the team at the Friar's Rest described their boss as much more than the man behind the counter. He was the heart and soul of the business, and clearly a man who's had a really positive impact on so many people. May he rest in peace, and our condolences to his family and friends. The Derry News this morning, Foyle MP Colm Eastwood and the Department of Health appear to be at loggerheads regarding funding ring-fenced for Northlands Addiction Treatment Centre in January 2020, new decade, new approach. Mr. Eastwood has heavily criticised the DOH's conduct towards Northlands, which had its core administration and housekeeping funding withdrawn in April. On to the Nationals now, and I can only imagine what the parents of these two beautiful young girls who were all dressed up, heading off to their debs and their lives taken from them. I'll read the story and we'll get to the views of the family. It's in the Independent and all papers today. A driver who caused the death of two teenaged girls while bringing them to their debs has been jailed for 7 years. Best friends, Kia McCann and Dilava Mohammed, were killed, 17 and 16 respectively. They were killed in the road crash in Monaghan on July 31st of 2023. The teenagers and two other students, including Dilava's sister, Avon, were being driven to the ball by family friend Anthony McGinn when he crashed the car into a tree. McGinn, who's 62, was yesterday jailed, having pleaded guilty to dangerous driving, causing the deaths of two teenaged girls. Speaking outside court following McGinn's sentences, Kia's mother, Teresa McCann, said there was no justice for what had happened. 7 years, that's the justice here. Two beautiful girls. This is my daughter, Kia, Ms. McCann said, holding a picture of her aloft. And this is what we got 7 years today. There's no justice for this. My child's life is gone and never coming back. And I suppose maybe the system is constrained by the laws that exist, but this guy was driving at excessive speeds, 150 kilometres per hour in an 80 kilometre zone. There were at least two teenagers in the car that are alive to testify that they asked him to slow down. He didn't. He struck a tree, and in an instant, the two lives were wiped out. 7 years, probably, would he serve half of that? So for that act, each life is worth 18 months, 2 years. How could you move forward if that was the justice as a family that was delivered for you? It'd be very difficult. But what sentence is adequate? It's dangerous driving, you know, but it would make you wonder if you didn't like people, put them in the car, make sure your seatbelt's on, crash it and You know what I mean? Is that what we're going to see next? Going forward, I'm not suggesting for a moment that's what happened in that case. But my point is that, you know, it seems a very light sentence. That's what the families are saying. 086 60 25,000 if you have a view on that. The Irish Daily Mail this morning. This is an interesting one because Micheál Martin has rounded on local authorities, because often the spin in terms of housing is that the central government is not doing enough. It's not funding local authorities enough to provide housing in the areas that they're responsible for. Micheál Martin's really saying it's not my fault. Local authorities need to do better, and I'll read the story. Micheál Martin has condemned a dependency culture in councils that seek handouts of tens of thousands of euro to fill vacant social homes. The Taoiseach sharply criticised local authorities for seeking up to 60,000 euro to prepare vacant homes to relet as the country grapples with the housing crisis. In some areas, properties can lie vacant for over a year, but Mr. Martin has insisted this should never happen for longer than the month. More than 100 million euro was spent refurbishing more than 3,500 council homes to relet them in 2023 alone, according to the most recent data. Much of this relates to properties left vacant when a tenant dies or moves on with councils required then to furnish them. But the Taoiseach, he's blaming the councils. He says that sums should not be needed to bring the homes out of vacancy. Mr. Martin said it's not always about handouts, which I think is really quite interesting. And people often report to this programme of vacant council houses, wondering why they aren't being done up, why no one's going into them. And the Taoiseach agrees with you. And he says it's the council's fault, not specific to Donegal, councils in general. The Times reports that a journalist behind a programme at the centre of Gerry Adams' defamation action against the BBC has said she exercised utmost care and responsibility in reporting the allegation that the former Sinn Féin leader sanctioned the murder of a British agent. Now, to say someone did that, it's more than utmost care. You need to know that that is true. Well, BBC Spotlight reporter Jennifer O'Leary was giving evidence at the High Court on the third week of a civil trial hearing into Mr. Adams's action. Mr. Adams claimed the Spotlight programme and a related article published in 2016 defamed him by falsely accusing him of sanctioning the killing of MI5 agent Dennis Donaldson at a cottage in Glenties. The Farmers' Journal, the future of farm payments beyond 2027 looks hugely uncertain amid mounting fears that the European Commission could scrap the Common Agricultural Policy ring-fenced budget. Cap funding, cap budget. We've been hearing about this forever, but could the death knell sound on the 27th year of this century? Proposals for the next long-term EU budget are due in mid-July, and the Commission unexpectedly announced last week that it plans for the post-2027 cap will be unveiled at the same time. The announcement has unsettled farm organisations across the EU and fuelled expectations that Brussels will press ahead with an unpopular dissolution of the cap budget in favour of a single all-in EU budget. There you go. The carnage and death continues in Gaza. Israeli airstrikes killed at least 70 people as they pounded northern and southern Gaza yesterday, local health officials claim. This is in the Mirror. Those killed by the strikes around Jabalia alone included 22 children. Hospitals and the health ministry reported. The overnight shelling and strikes from warplanes were said to be some of the worst attacks in recent weeks in the stepped-up war that Israel maintains is targeting Hamas fighters. Now, either they have the best intelligence in the world and know specifically where everyone is, or they are literally just dropping bombs where they think someone might be. I wonder if it's the latter and not the former. Closer to home and in the Irish Daily Mirror, around 76% of applications at the International Protection Office have been refused in the first instance so far this year. Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan also confirmed that 70% of appeals have been refused or affirmed to date in 2025. He confirmed the figures in a parliamentary question response to Catherine Connolly TD. Minister O'Callaghan stated that up until May 5th, there had been 6,623 first instances decisions at the IPO. Of these, there had been 5,008 refusals, which I presume we might see lead to a reduction in those seeking refuge here if it's not quite as easy as is possible.
And finally, Ireland's chances of making the Eurovision final are looking up, apparently, according to an expert. Emmy performs in tonight's second semi-final, where she hopes to clinch a spot on Saturday's main event. Bambi Thug last year became the first Irish entry to qualify for the Eurovision final since 2018, with 24-year-old Emmy hoping her tune, Like a Party, makes it to 4-2. So there's been two semi-finals. There's 16 acts tonight. 10 go through. I think it'd be a travesty if Emmy doesn't get through. It's a good song. It's a good Eurovision song. And if it doesn't get through, we might as well just pack it in all together. We've tried international. If that doesn't work, we've tried Turkey's. If that doesn't work, what next? All right. Will you be watching? Will you be watching Saturday night? 08660 25,000. It was confirmed that an inquest into the death of Danielle McLaughlin is to be held in Donegal. The Bunkrana woman was raped and murdered in Goa, India, in 2017 while backpacking. Vekat Bhagat received a life sentence for her death in February following an eight-year trial that was riddled with delays and setbacks. Danielle's mother, Andrea, says she's grateful to have the support of the Irish authorities to carry out an inquest at home. Now, the family solicitor is Des Doherty, and he joins me on the programme now. Des, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to assist you. You have been very supportive of Danielle's case and her family over the years, and I'm very, very much conscious of that and very grateful for it.
Well, I appreciate that, Des. Why is this so significant with sort of everything that's gone before? Why an inquest at home, and why is it so important?
Well, there's two answers to that. There's a technical reason and there's a compassionate reason. If we can deal with the technical reason, first of all, Danielle's mum does not have a death certificate for her daughter. And in technical terms, the only way that the death certificate, a proper death certificate, can be got is via the inquest procedure, so that the cause of death is properly recorded. Because the cause of death is absolutely, it's imperative that that is properly recorded on a death certificate for the family. And for other, you know, technical reasons as well, in terms of, like, for example, if somebody had, say, a savings account in a local bank or a credit union or whatever, they normally do require, as we all know, through the probate work and other work, for a death certificate to be produced. So there is that technical reason, and that technical reason, I suppose, gives a bit of finality to the case as well. And I know that's a sad aspect of it, but it is a sort of a written document confirming for Danielle's mum the cause of her daughter's death, because it's well known, of course, that Bhagat was convicted for the murder and rape of Danielle. But the details of the death and what actually led to the death, which is a matter that a coroner is interested in, you know, how did the deceased die, is very, very important. So that's the technical background to it. But I suppose there's a compassionate element as well in this case, because, you know, as you know, and your listeners will know, and most of Ireland knows, this case has been going on for some time, and it has attracted quite a lot of media attention and interest, not only here, but, you know, well beyond that. And it was a very long process, and people complained a lot about the process being so long. But as a legal representative, I've had to be very respectful of the Indian legal system, and I never took it upon myself to be critical of them in any way. I feel that would not be appropriate at all. But it was a very long time. The process did take 8 years. And I think the family then instructed me at the conclusion of the trial to make an application to the Attorney General for an inquest to be convened. And in fairness to the Attorney General's office, they were back to me very, very quickly. And then in turn, of course, the coroner in Donegal, Dr. Dennis McCauley, he as well dealt with the matter most speedily. And he's now met with the family. And I, for the first time, having dealt with this for quite a number of years, could almost sense a feeling of relief on Danielle's mum and for Danielle's sister, having met the coroner. And the coroner very eloquently explaining the inquest process and how it was going to work. So I think it was a great solace to him. So
just in relation to how it might work, Des, how much in terms of, I suppose, information, how much cooperation is required from the relevant Indian authorities or agencies, and how forthcoming might that be in progressing this process?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think that it is vital, but I do not see any difficulties in that regard at all, because we already had a presence in the court under the Indian legal system. We were represented before the court, so we've obviously maintained great contacts. Now, what has again made this case exceptional and unique, even though the death was abroad, was that there was a post-mortem carried out in India. Mm-hmm. But there was also a second post-mortem carried out in Ireland by Professor Cassidy at the time. He was a state pathologist. So the coroner has a lot of information already before him that's going to assist him. Now, also as well, because I have access, obviously, to the legal papers in the case, the things that a coroner would need, for example, you know, who identified Danielle's body, who discovered Danielle's body, and the details of the initial police officer, that's all readily available, and I've already supplied all that to the coroner. So I think the way it will work will be that a senior member of Angarda Sukanya will then contact his counterpart in India. And between them, I think they will place before the coroner the appropriate evidence that the coroner needs to determine the cause of death.
Yeah, really quite remarkable to learn. But then again, I suppose when you reflect on it, that that Andrew doesn't have a death cert for all of, you know, something that's just presumed, if you know what I mean. And I can understand its significance. So, this is being seen as positive. You can see from the wording of the statement. Do we still have that potential dark cloud hanging over this case with a Bhagat appeal? What is the status of that? Do we know, or is that for he and his legal team to consider?
Any appeal is for him and his legal team to consider, but nothing is surprising about any of that, and it won't have any impact on the inquest at all.
No, of course
not. Because the inquest is a totally separate matter. It's a civil matter dealing with the cause of death. But yes, that dark cloud, as you would call it, hangs over the case. It would hang over any long-term murder case, because someone who is convicted, they really, in a lot of respects, they have nothing to lose by lodging an appeal, especially with a life sentence. So yes, but that's a matter for, as I have always said, I think, and Danielle's mum has said, is a matter for the defence and the legal process there, and she's not going to interfere in any of that at the moment. Bhagat has been convicted for the murder and rape of Danielle, and that's how matters sit.
Yeah, and I think just to conclude, you know, with so much resistance and the battles over the last 8 years at home for that positive meeting you had with the Attorney General, that positive engagement with Dr. Dennis McCauley, that this seems to be one of those things that might go to plan, if that makes sense, with all the trials and quite literally trials and tribulations that have gone before. It's nice that in her own home, it seems that everyone's working to get the right thing done in this instance.
Yes, no, I would agree with that. And I think on the return from India, when the family returned, they received a very nice letter as well from the Taoiseach at the time. And that really began the process of engaging them with the authorities here, because before that, I could not really do that. Mm. But it does show the compassion in the case. And sometimes we complain a lot about the law, and we complain about legal cases, and generally that's why people are in the media. But there is a compassionate element to the law. And I think that the coroner's inquest will supply that. And coroners, on the whole, in my experience, in many jurisdictions, are very compassionate people and very understanding. And I think sometimes that's lacking in the law, because it has become a very aggressive thing in the media and that as well, and I suppose, you know, in the entertainment industry. But it is a compassionate element to the case. And I think all the hard work will be done now. The hard work will be done now over the coming months in getting the inquest ready. And when the inquest happens, yes, we do expect it to run smoothly, because the work will all be done in advance, effectively behind the scenes in the preparation.
And just finally, in case listeners are wondering, This inquest is most likely or expected, is it not, to just confirm what we know, validate what the family know, and make it official here in Danielle's home?
In a nutshell, that is correct. But I think what will happen, again, to use the compassionate theme, is that a member of Danielle's family, likely to be her mother or her sister, will get the opportunity to speak properly in a legal forum, in a witness box under oath, in a commemorative way about Danielle, and explain to the coroner what sort of person Danielle was, which we know to a certain degree, again, through reports in the media and that, but it'll be very important that that's done in court. And I think it gives a degree of officialdom to the case.
It puts on the record as well, you know.
Exactly.
And it's an opportunity for her to be heard, and for Danielle to be heard through her mom, through her family. Exactly. I get the significance of that, and I, as difficult a time as it will be, because any time you sort of have to really look inwards and reflect, it's going to be a challenge. But hopefully, at the end of the process, a further weight might be lifted from Andrea and Danielle's sister and everyone affected by this. Des, listen, thanks as always for your time. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
All right, take care of yourself. That's the family solicitor there, Des Doherty, reflecting to the news that we received last evening that there has been a welcome by the family of Danielle McLaughlin, that a inquest will be convened under the auspices of Dr. Dennis McCauley. And as we heard, the Attorney General has been very cooperative in dealing with Des in that regard. I just want to let you know that there is a road traffic bereavement support group meeting taking place. And the question really is, effectively, have you been affected by the loss of a loved one due to a road traffic collision? If you have, you're very welcome to come along on Thursday, the 22nd of May at 6:30 p.m. And it runs to 8 p.m. at Huey's Corner Pastoral Centre in Carndonagh. And if you are intending to go, and it might take you some time to consider if it's the right time for you, or whether you go on your own or with someone with you, or you know how it is when you're dealing with a loss or tragedy, we have contact details here. If you contact us, we'll give you the phone number or the email to see if you wish to attend that bereavement support group for those who have lost a loved one due to a road traffic collision. It's next Thursday, the 22nd of May, between 6:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. at Huey's Corner in Carndonagh. Contact us and we'll pass on the details to you. A listener texted in to say, does anyone know how long the water in Lechamy will be off for? We've had none since Tuesday, which is, it's Thursday now. Irish Water, the only information they have, Ishka Éireann, is that they say they're currently investigating reports of a supply disruption to Mean Letter Bale, Lechamy and surrounding areas. More information to follow. That was 17 hours ago. No further information since. So Irish Water are on the case. You could say how much that it inspires you, I don't know. But there's no time frame as to when you'll get your water back in those areas. Hi, Greg. We need to hold our councillors to account, as people are frustrated about the fact that no councillors have opposed iPass centres in Donegal. Their silence is complicity. I can't speak to all of them as to whether or not they have opposed them or not, but that caller believes that is the case. And I suppose absence of speaking out on these issues or proposing motions, maybe that's how they feel. Ballyholy is on the way to Lifford, I'm told. A young man was killed earlier this year due to the storm. We remember that very sadly. There is a crash barrier put up. I think that the crash barrier should have been extended to where there is a big drop. This needs to be looked at. This is dangerous. You're not the first person that has raised that concern with me. And there are also, we also received concerns previously that there are still dangerous trees overhanging that stretch of road. I'm not sure if that situation has been addressed since. But anyway, this caller says that crash barrier should be extended to where there is a big drop. If you drive that road or are from that area and you have an opinion, let me know. Now, Diane Harvey is owner of DS School of Motoring. D's School of Motoring, I beg your pardon. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And
I want to talk to you about why we invited you on in the first instance, but I just wonder, as someone who teaches people to drive, young and not so young, I'm sure, I was just going through the figures today. Before you get invited to sit your driving test from today, 27 weeks wait in Bunkrana. It'd be 26 before you have your driving test. Letterkenny, 25 weeks. You can't expect an invitation to book your test before the 10th of November. We're only in middle May. These figures are shocking, aren't they? What's it like dealing with your you know, your students as they complete their 12 tests and more, and know they have this weight in front of them? Wow, that was such a long question, and then their line dropped off. I'm not sure I can do such a long question introduction again. I'll come back to that in a moment. We'll speak to Diane. We'll reconnect with her. Are you there, Diane? No, I have lost you. You are. Okay. A caller says Relay for Life is all about coming together and celebrating cancer survivors, remembering those who've passed away from cancer, and giving thanks to all caregivers while learning about the services available from the Irish Cancer Society. Relay Donegal takes place next Saturday and Sunday at the ATU. A really special times always. The Candle of Hope ceremony on Saturday night as darkness falls, and all the candles are laid out around the track. Candles of Hope will be available in Remelton tomorrow, Friday 16th, at Warriskies and Kiernan's Moorfield, 8:30 to 5 p.m. if anyone wants to remember someone in this way. And it's interesting, different people go to that for different reasons, because some people call themselves survivors, others don't, but they all come together in that moment of reflection. I'll mention a coffee morning actually that's upcoming as well. It's a cuppa for a course, a cause at Dillon's Hotel. It's in support of Lauren Wall, a Dillon staff member going to Uganda in July. The coffee or the cuppa for a cause takes place on Wednesday, the 21st of May, between 10:30 a.m. and noon. And tickets for amazing prices are going to be sold on the day. And it's all under the umbrella of Play Action, enriching disadvantaged children's lives through play. And through that, Lauren Wall, a Dillon staff member, is heading away. Right, Diane, I have you back. Sorry about that. I was just going to ask you, these big long waiting times for people that you're working with, 27 weeks in Bunkrana, 25 in Letterkenny, 19 in Donegal Town. What do you hear from your students?
What I hear from my students is just that they just feel that they're just being left behind. They feel that they have done their 12 lessons and they're left waiting that long, that they have to have more lessons, the expense of it. The lack of on-road experience is encouraging young people to drive on their own because they have no choice to go to college, to go to work. So then they say we have testing, and then we might have a test in Donegal Town. I'm quoting here, as like, we have no driving test this week. Sometimes we could go 2 or 3 weeks without no driving test. We could have weeks that they came in, like not last week, the week before. We only had tests on Thursday, Friday, which was only on trailers. And so, like, that was only 2 days. There's no test this week.
What? One second.
So it has a domino effect.
Well, Dan, sorry. So last week, there were no sort of regular B tests. It was just trailers, cars and trailers, Thursday, Friday. There's no driving tests taking place this week?
None this week at all.
In Letterkenny, Donegal Town, Bunkrana, or across the county?
Donegal Town.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's regular. Like, we could have, we've seen spells that we could have 3 weeks with no tests, even on Category B.
Because there's four testers in the county, that was the last figures, maybe it's increased. One in Donegal Town, isn't it? And three in Letterkenny, with one sort of floating between Letterkenny and Inishowen.
Yes, that's correct. And Inishowen with Bunkrana would be very similar to ourselves. They would have a lot of lack of testing as well, going on up there as well.
27 weeks in Bunkrana. I mean, do you know what is annoying? If you're sitting there, if you're one of these people sitting there, Diane, and you've learned that there's been zero B driving tests last week or this week, you wonder, well, what am I waiting for here? This is crazy.
Yeah, 100%. I feel for them. Like, I feel for them. And it also has a domino effect on us as instructors and on-road assessors, because nobody's taking lessons because they're on the list so long. They're not taking lessons. They'll say, Diana, I'll come back when I get the invitation, which is 2 or 3 weeks before their driving test.
And Deanne, do you hear?
You mightn't see them.
Do you hear on the grapevine that there is no test taking place, or is that information made public to you?
Ronnie, we were just chatting to another instructor the day before yesterday. Like, if we even knew in advance of when, like, cause some driving instructors have part-time jobs, like, and because they're the work is stops when there's no test. And, like, we all we know is week to week. Like, all I can tell you now is that we have tests on the... My next test is... I have tests on Monday morning. There's tests next week. I don't know how many days that's going to be for. And my next test after that is the 4th of June.
Wow. And is this Donegal Town only for you, Deanne? Or is it just Donegal Town for you?
Donegal Town only. Donegal Town only for me.
Right. So you have a couple booked in, and we know there's thousands of people waiting, so it's not like there's no demand. So you've a couple booked in for next week, and then at this point, no tests then until the following month in Donegal Town for people that you've worked with effectively.
Yes.
Wowzers. Okay.
So I'm actually just taking my diary out here now, and I can actually confirm it for you. So that's the week of the 18th, 19th, that week of the 19th. There is tests in Donegal that week. That's the week of the 19th, so the 22nd. And then the next test I have would be on the week of the 2nd of June.
Gee, man, that's unbelievable. And it's not because you don't have...
Yeah, I lost in that week.
It's not because you don't have students waiting. That's not the issue here. This is when the tests are actually taking place.
I would be booked out all the time. Like,
of course
you do. I'm full-time at it. I'm at it a long time. But, you know, the young ones don't have the money. And they're sitting back saying, Deanne, I'm keeping the money now until I get word of my test.
Yeah.
And because they don't know when it's going to be. Like, I have one's going to college in September, and they're panicking because they have to be able to drive because they can't afford accommodation.
Yeah.
And they're saying to me now at the minute, Deanne, am I going to have my driving test before I finish college, before I start college? And I'm there going, I don't know. I just don't know.
It's unbelievable. And we're being told again that by September, this and that will have happened. But we've had so many false dawns. I just can't have any faith in that information at this point, to be honest with you. I know Jack Chambers probably said it. He said it in the Dáil, I think. But, you know, I know that's not going to be the case. There's no way.
Well, the Department of Transport has pulled them and says that this does need to be rectified. And well, we have new testers apparently going to, has been trained up and all the rest of it. But you know yourself, Greg, that'll not come to Donegal. Would they forget about us?
Yep. Same as the guards. They go to Dublin, we get one or two. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Deanne, listen, that's a remarkable insight. But we also want to talk about a recent situation that you observed on the road, Deanne. Tell us that story, please.
Well, basically, Greg, first of all, everyone's behaviour and attitude has to change on the roads. It really, really does. Like, the attitude, the people's attitude on the road at the minute, it's terrifying stuff. Like, I've come on several incidents over the last couple of months of what I could describe as reckless driving. And I'm driving a learner car myself all the time because of the job. And I would never have said that. I've standard L plates on. And, for example, one night a person passed me just like a bat out of hell, lethal speed. I could hear the engine at full capacity what was passing me. And me travelling at 100 kilometres. And I remember saying to myself, I hope you make it home, whoever you are. And, like, came on an accident then, and it was sheer speed. Absolutely sheer speed. Now, we could have all... Several car pile-up could have been in that. I had one lady, her legs were shaking, she couldn't even get out of the car. You know, I don't know why people is so angry on the road. Is it anger? Is it, you know, I can't understand where this has come from.
Have you seen it worsened? Go on and then I'll ask you a question. Go on, Deanne, you're in the car park.
I was in a car park yesterday. And a person swung around the car park and pulled the side of somebody's car. Like, why are you in a rush going out of a car park? It just
going?
Is what blows my mind. And I'm there going, you know, didn't even have time. Big fancy car, round the corner, took the corner too wide and bang into somebody else. And I'm just there going, shouldn't even be out of first gear. Actually.
Yeah, exactly. You should be less than 5 kilometres per hour. And Deanne, you've been at this for a long time, okay, and you would be able to gauge any changes in driver attitude, anger, patience. You know, whether you're just driving your own vehicle with the L plates on because of your job, or when you have a student on with you. Have you genuinely noticed a change in driver attitude, patience, aggression, tooting the horn, flashing the lights?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. The anger, it's like, you know, I'd be driving along, for example, myself, right? I could be anywhere. And next thing you look in your mirror and you can actually see the person getting agitated behind you because you have an L plate up. They don't realise I'm actually a professional driver.
Mm.
And the attitude, and they're just around. But taking, I was talking to another instructor yesterday and they were telling me that they were on the main road and how somebody overtook them in the hard shoulder.
Undertook them. Wow. Okay. We're hearing an awful lot of that, actually, Deanne, right across the county, this undertaking crack.
Yeah. And like, I was there yesterday going, I go, really? And she goes, yeah. She goes, she could see it coming. And it was actually in Barnesmore Gap. And she could see it coming and then inside and the way around them.
Mm.
It's so scary. So, like, for example, the incident, I came on an incident and the guards didn't ask me anything. They said, oh, if anyone wants to ring into the guard station, ring in. I have rang in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But people need to speak out. People need to report this. People need to take registrations on it. Use your dash cams.
Mm. And you can upload that information. There is a portal on Goddess. You kind of have a portal for uploading instances of dangerous driving. You know, if you feel you're frustrated ringing your local station or what have you, there is a portal there where you can do exactly what you've just said, Deanne. But what I don't understand is, you know, because we're seeing crazy rates of drink and drug driving in this county. We're one of the worst. Like, there was one weekend there where we accounted for over 10% of the entire country's drink and drug driving stats. And then every community, very sadly, has had to endure loss through fatal road traffic collisions, not to mention, you know, 10 times that potentially have life-changing, you know, a smack to the head that makes them moody or irritable or brain fog. You know, people with long-lasting injuries from car crashes. And a lot of messaging. And it just makes you wonder, why is it not getting through? It does. You would wonder.
Yeah, like drink, drugs, factor, like high music and all this here. Like the higher the beat, the higher the speed. You know, a lot of that there. I see there's a lot more of that on the roads. And what I can't understand is, especially in regard to young people, it's so expensive for them to have these tools and luxuries of having a car, having insurance. Where's the respect? Where's the respect for the other road user? There's none. There is none. It's gone. Any respect that was for each other on the road is gone.
Mm, it's worrying.
In my eyes. And that's across the board. I can say that on behalf of a lot of instructors that we work with. And young ones are, like, I'm not saying every young one or middle-aged person, but if you look at the stats as well, it's all people between the age of 25 and 40.
Yes, stats don't lie. Deanne, listen, thank you so much for your insight. I really do appreciate it. And it's another thing that we're trying to do to try and get the penny to drop. So I do appreciate your time. Take care. That's Deanne Harvey, owner of Dee's School of Motoring. An interesting statement released by Daniel O'Donnell, and effectively, the short read is that he's taking a break from touring, not retiring, but taking a break, but it's down to his health. And it reads as follows. After much reflection, Daniel has decided to take an extended break from touring. This decision was not made lightly, but it is driven by the health challenges he's faced over the past few years, particularly with allergies and recurrent chest infections while touring extensively. It reads, Daniel will continue his touring commitments until December 25, but he has realised that he needs to step back and focus on his health and his well-being. This pause is essential, it says, for him to recharge and recover. He emphasises that this is not a retirement, but rather a temporary break. Early next year, Daniel will host his Opry Le Daniel shows on TG Cahir. Additionally, in September 26, he will perform, as he has for many years, on Gertrude Burns' Mediterranean cruise. These will be his only confirmed
performances for 2026. So effectively taking 26 off, bar Opry, Le Daniel, and that cruise performance. And Daniel has taken time away himself. I hope he sticks to it as well, too, because he does push himself. And when you do push yourself, you can be prone for to infections and what have you. So he says the reason for this is his health, and he's suffered for the past few years with challenges relating to allergies and recurrent chest infections while touring extensively. I don't think he's doing media interviews in relation to that, but hopefully he takes 26 off bar those two gigs and fully recharges his batteries, because we need him back fitter and stronger than ever.